Certainly, all of us look forward to the time when we will be able to make heaven, that eternal abode, our home someday. Preparations are being made so that we will experience that blessed and honored privilege of being able to make it our home someday. We want to express our appreciation to Clifford for directing our singing this evening. We are thankful to Brother Solomon Stevens for reading our scripture lesson and for the prayer led by Brother Eric Prowell. And we appreciate the fine way the congregation supports and follows the directions of our song leaders when they are before the audience. Before I go into my lesson this evening, I want to make an announcement. A key has been found in the parking lot. A single, solitary key. If you are missing a key, or if you lost a key, you can come after service and reclaim your key. I trust it will be reclaimed, because although I have it in my possession now, I don't know what to do with it. I don't know which lock it fits. So if you've lost a key, please come and reclaim your key this evening. We talked to you this morning on the open door of the church. I will finish that lesson up, if the Lord wills and if things go as planned, not this evening, but on a Sunday morning. We have something else we want you to consider with us in our lesson this evening. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the passage that was read from Matthew 22, 35 through 40. I'd like to, at this time, also read verse number 34. Matthew 22. And this is a passage that is familiar to most of us. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, that is, when Jesus had put the Sadducees to silence, the Pharisees were gathered together. The enemies of Jesus were constantly trying to entrap him, trying to trip him up, trying to catch him in error, trying to embarrass him. But Jesus, being the all-wise Son of God, and Jesus being what we call the master teacher, he was never successfully painted in a corner. He was never successfully tripped up. He was just too smart, too wise to allow himself to be overcome by his enemies. The Pharisees, since the Sadducees were not able to trip Jesus up, they decided that they would try their hand at it again. One of the Pharisees, who was a lawyer, ask him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus responded without hesitation, saying, this is it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. In other words, in essence, Jesus was saying and affirming, you shall love the Lord your God with the totality of your being, with everything that you are and with everything that you have. You should love the Lord your God with that. And Jesus himself identifies this great commandment as being the first and the great commandment. It took priority over all of the others. And then he said, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love your neighbor in the same way that you love yourself. Give your neighbor the same consideration that you give yourself. Provide for your neighbor the same necessities that you would provide for yourself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Sometimes we get the notion or we get the idea that there's something wrong with or flawed with us when we love ourselves. But this is erroneous. We need to love ourselves in a healthy way, because how we love ourselves becomes the basis for loving others. If we do not prerequisitely love ourselves in a healthy and appropriate, proper way, then we are at a loss as to how we should relate to others and love others as ourselves. How we love ourselves determines how we love others. I'm afraid that some don't recognize or don't understand correctly how they are to love themselves. Paul over in Ephesians, he emphasizes with reference to the husband and wife. If you'll turn to that passage in Ephesians 5 with me, and we see the same truth articulated there, telling a man, instructing a man how he should love his wife. Notice verse number 25. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How should we love our wives? Paul gives two standards. As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Not only that, and I think Paul's thinking as he was guided by the Holy Spirit was such that if men missed the first lesson insofar as how to love their wives, they could not miss the second. And then he says in verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own bodies. But no man hated his own flesh. Thank you, Brother Drexel. But nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord, the church. And this is just a restatement in a very real sense of that second commandment of which Jesus spoke when he said, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. If we can master loving God with the totality of our being and loving our neighbors as ourselves, we'll be able to carry out all of the other commandments. We would refrain from engaging in envy and covetousness. We would refrain from stealing the property of our neighbors. We would refrain from engaging in an illicit affair with our neighbor's mate. We will easily comply with the other mandates found in the law. So if we can master these, love God with the totality of your being, love your neighbor as yourself, that would automatically, in a very real sense, cover everything else. Having read this pertinent passage in Matthew 22, I want to just call your attention for a few moments to another thought, another concept. When I was growing up, have y'all ever heard of the 4-H Club? Anybody heard of the 4-H Club? The 4-H Club embodied four significant principles that parallel the values and the principles that are followed by Christians. Little children who were members of the 4-H, they repeated this motto embraced by and articulated by 4-H Club members. And the first one was, I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my health to better living, my hands to larger service. I want to say a few things about each of these concepts and suggest that as Christians, as members of the body of Christ, we can apply these concepts, these principles to our own lives in a meaningful way. I pledge my head to clearer thinking. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, Paul says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. See, Paul talks about love in this passage, and I can't help but think about love in Matthew 22. So God has not given us as his children a spirit of fear. We have no reason to fear. But he's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, a mind with which we can do clearer thinking. We need to have the ability to think clearly and soberly, that we might be able to make good, wholesome decisions that will affect our lives in a positive way. In reality, we need to love God with a sound mind. We need to love God intelligently, bringing into play sound minds engaged in sound and clear thinking. He says, I pledge my heart to greater loyalty. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. You should love him passionately. You should love him from the depths of your being. You should love him devotedly, loyally, from the heart. So I pledge my heart to greater loyalty. Not only that, but I pledge my health to better living. I need to do better living insofar as my health is concerned. I'm not concerned, well, I'm concerned, true enough, but I'm not focused on others' health and better living for others. I'm mostly concerned and primarily and preeminently concerned about the need to pledge my health personally to better living. And this is in alignment with 3 John and verse number 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. We want to enjoy not only good physical health, not only good emotional health, but we want to enjoy good spiritual health as well. So we can pledge our health to better living. And the concept of loving our neighbors as ourselves, really, when you love yourself appropriately, you will make greater provisions to ensure your own improved health. Because love looks out for the best interests of the object of that love. And in this case, you look out for your own best interests appropriately when you love yourself. So I pledge my health to better living. And I'm not just mouthing these words. I have begun to make significant changes in managing my health. And I would urge all of us to do the same. You have not been picked out to be picked on. I'm picking on me primarily and fundamentally. Not only should we pledge our heads to clearer thinking, our hearts to greater loyalty, and our health to better living, but finally, we should pledge our hands to larger service. Ecclesiastes 9 encourages and urges, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Because our lives are going to eventually end, and we will be ushered into eternity. Every opportunity we have to make a difference in service, we should take advantage of it. Paul pledged his hands to larger service. Acts chapter 20, verses 34 and 35. Paul says, yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities, and not only for my necessities, but for those who were with me. I have showed you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul had pledged his hands to larger service, and he urges us to do the same. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Again, you see the concept of meeting the needs of others, of reaching out to others, bringing me back to loving your neighbor as yourself. When you love your neighbor, then you are willing to meet your neighbor's needs. You're willing to endeavor to serve your neighbor, to help your neighbor in loving your neighbor as you love yourself. You're willing to minister to him. You're willing to serve him as Jesus served his disciples when he washed their feet, as Jesus utilized his hands in touching others, bringing hope and help. Jesus had pledged his hands to larger service, and he wants us to do the same. As we endeavor to love God with the totality of our being, and as we endeavor to love our neighbors as ourselves, let us pledge our heads to clearer thinking as children of God, our hearts to greater loyalty, our health to better living, and our hands to larger service. If we have lost sight of the need to most effectively love and serve with head, heart, health, and hand, let's recommit ourselves to those principles and to those disciplines this evening. You can't help but help yourself, and you can't help but help others in the process of helping yourself. If you're here this evening and find yourself a guilty distance from the Lord and in need of restoration, in need of spiritual strength, in need of encouragement, in need of assistance, our brothers and sisters will be happy to pray with you and for you that your needs will be met. If you are a guilty distance from the Lord, you can bridge the gap, that distance between you and the Lord, through repentance, confession, and prayer. Maybe you're here and you are not yet a Christian. you have not yet initially obeyed the gospel of Christ, you can do that this evening. It's always a good time to obey the Lord. Now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Jesus loved us all enough that he was willing to give his very life, to shed his precious blood for our sake, for our sins, because he loved us so. He died, he was buried, and he didn't stay dead, as Brother Keeble used to mention or affirm. Early on the third day, early on the first day of the week, he arose from the grave, a conquering king. Now that he has done what he has done on our behalf, how will we respond to the loving sacrifice that he made on the cross for us? Do you believe that he died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he arose again on the third day according to the scriptures? This is the good news of the gospel. Paul affirms that it will save us if we'll keep it in memory, unless we have believed in vain. Just a matter of HBO, hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, and obeying the gospel. And you can obey it through repentance from your sins, through confession of Christ as the Son of God, and through compliance with the requirement to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. You can go home a brand new creation, ready to live a brand new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Will you become new? Will you start all over again this evening? As hot as it is, as uncomfortable as it is, you still have the privilege of starting off brand new with a clean slate, going home unencumbered by the sins of the past. If you need prayer for challenges you're facing, for difficulties you're grappling with, you can make that known as well. Will you do it as we together stand and as we sing?